Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. It's natural for us to shrink from looking too closely at the gruesome, sickening torment of Christ's cross. It's also natural for us to minimize any looking at how we caused that torment. And yet, did you hear in our text, the Spirit direct us, look on him whom you have pierced. Notice the pronoun that follows. They will look on me. Who is that me? Verse 8. The Lord I am. Jehovah of glory. Identifies himself as the Messiah who would be murdered. Yes. And yet notice the change in pronouns that then follows. As the Father maintains his own personal distinction from the Son, they will look on him. Thus, Jesus himself also both distinguished and identified himself with the Father. I and the Father are one. So the people of Zechariah's day were able to join you and me at the very foot of Jesus' cross, looking upon, the gruesome agony that he endured in his passion and its reason. The square spikes driven through quivering flesh, the body jerking in pain, and then squirming like a worm on a hook, to gasp for every breath of air. The God-forsakenness that was seen in the darkness that followed, that was foretold in the next chapter of Zechariah, where we read, the Father will raise his own sword against the man who is his companion. And when the sacrifice was complete, there was still this spear thrust into heart or lungs, till water and blood flowed out. Having this exact blueprint of the Messiah's suffering and death, isn't it amazing that the Jews of Jesus' day, claiming to know the scriptures, exactly fulfilled them, crucifying him? They were given every opportunity to look on him, and yet they would not look on him as their Savior. Oh, they looked on his death, but not as one that mourns for their own firstborn. And that is a warning to us, because it's also the fatal nature of our pride that thinks that we can possess God's grace in the wineskin of our own worth and wisdom. Such self-reliance does not properly perceive how I personally pierced Jesus with the perversion of my sin and guilt. Self-reliance may still pity Christ, the travesty of justice that he endured, but it doesn't cling to his grace. May you ever be among the blessed that cling to the grace of his promise. Your sins are forgiven and cleansed, for I was pierced for you. So when was it that the house of David looked on the Christ whom they had pierced? Verse 10 tells us that it was the result of the Spirit being poured out. And this house of David that the Spirit was poured out upon, Acts 15 tells us, is the Holy Christian Church. So it started with Adam and Eve. It continued with believers in Zechariah's day. It involved the one thief on the other cross who looked on Jesus in mourning repentance. This man has done no wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the centurion at the foot of that cross, mourning, certainly this was a righteous man. And 50 days later, that Spirit was poured out when Peter preached, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You killed the Prince of Life. And we're told the Spirit of grace cut them to the heart. And that same Spirit of grace is still poured out when we hear his word, beckoning us in grievous sorrow over our sin to look on him whom we have pierced. And yet, Jesus does not want us to just look with sorrow. The word look invites us to actually look with confidence. God used the same word when he spoke the promise. Whoever looks upon the brass serpent hanging on the pole will not die, but live. And they did. And just so, he promises that the one who looks on Jesus, this one whom we have pierced, will not die, but live. And yet, how often have we pierced Jesus? With our rebellion, with our yielding to peer pressure, with our selfishly seeking self-advantage. Which of us then can properly think, hey, well, Jesus is certainly going to show me grace because of who I am? No. The Spirit of grace turns us from that self-reliance to look on his amazing love. That as our sins nailed him to the cross, prayed, Father, forgive them. To look on his amazing love that heard the supplication of an ungodly murderer and opened his paradise to the ungodly. To look on his amazing love that looked from the first sinner to the last and publicly decreed for every sinner, your debt is fully paid. To look on his amazing love that sent the Spirit of grace to create in your heart trust in him. Yes, to trust him to graciously, fully forgive all your sins and cover you with his own righteousness by his grace. May you ever be among the blessed who trust his gracious promise. Your sins are forgiven and cleansed, for I was pierced for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 151, stanzas 1 and 7.